You're welcome to ask questions. You have approximately 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, actually I have two questions. First one is, do you think there is a relationship between the Israeli propaganda or the Zionist propaganda about the Nazi Holocaust that minimized the propaganda about the Romani Holocaust that was drastic as it was? And some of us know, well, other people don't know about that. And the second question is, did the Israeli or Ashkenazi Nazist occupation in Palestine, my country Palestine, encourage also the Romani to emigrate to Palestine as they are doing now to the Arab, to the Russians in the Soviet Union after 1990?
As to the first question, I have been involved with the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council for over 20 years since its planned formation. I worked with Professor Gabriel Theurenauer, who is the acknowledged expert on the Nazi genocide of the Sinti and Roma in Germany in the satellite countries during the Second World War. We fought for 15 years. Dr. Ian Hancock at the University of Texas, myself, and other Roma intellectuals, writers, activists, to get one Roma on the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council. Our opposition came not from Jewish survivors, but from Jewish people who had never been anywhere near the camps, mostly born in America, who saw the Holocaust as a Jewish event with others as bit players. We got a lot of support from Simon Wiesenthal and Miriam Novich and survivors who are in Europe, very little from the Jewish community in America who had never been in the Holocaust. We finally got one Roma appointed, Mr. William Duna, a music teacher from Cincinnati. When his term expired, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan. President Clinton appointed Dr. Ian Hancock. When his term expired, George W. Bush, otherwise known as the Shrub, refused to reappoint a Romani representative. Ian Hancock was not reappointed. He recently visited the Dalai Lama in Tibet. And I have been told by Mr. Hancock that the Dalai Lama has written a letter to the Shrub requesting that he be reinstated as the Romani member to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council. The tactics that were employed by the Holocaust Council, we were invited to numerous meetings. I would fly down from Montreal. The first time I went down, I met a suit called Mr. Jones. And we took our time, our delegation, to explain to Mr. Jones what our problem was and why we wanted a Roma member on the Holocaust Committee. And next time we came down, we met a Mr. Smith, who apologized. I'm sorry, boys, I just came on board. I'm not familiar with the problem. So we'd explain it all to him. A couple of years later, we'd fly down again and we'd meet a Mr. Robertson or whatever. And he would apologize that he had just come aboard and didn't really understand the situation. So finally, after 15 years of this, we did get Mr. William Duna appointed. If anyone has ever seen the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, there is a picture, well, actually, there is a mannequin of a Romani woman dressed like a fortune teller with her hand out, waiting for a piece of silver. And behind it is a picture of a caravan. I mean, we offered to give them photographs of the Holocaust, the archives in Warsaw. We could have given them tons of stuff. This is what they choose to exhibit. So that might go a long way to answering your question. Roma, homosexuals, Jehovah's Witnesses, all the others are bit players, spear holders in the Holocaust. As far as the official Holocaust organization, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council, is concerned. As far as the second question, I cannot answer that because I don't know. I can only say there have been Roma living in Palestine called Domari for probably 3 or 4 centuries, if not longer, in Jerusalem. They have been a community, neither Jewish nor Arab, but since they've been there for so long, they are more assimilated into the Arab community than the more recent Jewish immigration. But other than that, I can't tell you anything much, except that there's a website about this community, Domari. If you punch that in, you'll get some information on it.
To your second question, I would like to tell that, yes, some Roma, they emigrate from Eastern European countries after the second big war, especially from Russia, on the same time with the Russian Jewish, because they also get, blood connection with the Jewish from Russia, and that was a good occasion for them to emigrate to Israel or Palestine. I don't know exactly, but for sure I know people, Roma people, who emigrate in Palestine and Israel from Russia, from Romania, especially in the communist time when they were persecuted by communists.
Hi, I'm going to, first of all, my original question I'll just put off for a second. First of all, the name of the country is Israel. And secondly, it's not a recent Jewish immigration. It happens to be where the Jews are from since long before they were Muslims. So the Jews in Eastern Europe, by the way, were very good friends with many of the Roma. They shared musical occasions. You read extremely respectful accounts of Roma musicians in works by Jewish ethnomusicologists and so on. But that isn't what I was going to ask. What I was going to ask was, I'm good friends with several of the, and I won't say Roma because they don't use the term, of the Ciganos in Portugal. And I have a number of questions. One is simply, why do they not in Spain and Portugal use the term Roma? I know there's an Unión Romaní in Barcelona, which purports to be the Romani organization of the Iberian Peninsula, but among my friends who are Gitano in Spain and Ciganos in Portugal, I don't know any who actually use the term Roma, and I've asked them about it. They say they just don't have the habit of using it, and so they don't. And just wanted to point out that whereas the Gitanos in Spain, you know, they've had a lot of discrimination, a lot of very difficult times, but at least they sort of have this, you know, some level of respect because of their involvement in music and dance. In Portugal, they're incredibly discriminated against still. And the ones that I know well who live actually in the crypto-Jewish areas of Portugal, where they go to market, along with the crypto-Jews and are mutually respected by them, have a very, very, very hard time and still practice a lot of the old customs that result in even worse discrimination. So the simple question is, why are they not using the term Roma when everyone else does? And the other question is, if the Ciganos of Portugal are being considered by some of the larger Roma organizations. Thanks.
what I mentioned by recent Jewish immigration, we know that Israel is the homeland of the Jewish people. But it is not a Roma problem. The problem with the Roma has nothing to do with Israel. It has to do with the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council. I've never been to Israel. And you're correct that Jews and Roma both were marginalized in Eastern Europe. There is a big connection between klezmer music and Romani music. There was a lot of intermarriage with Roma and Jewish people in Eastern Europe. In fact, even in the Bronx, when the Russian Roma settled in the Bronx and started playing mixed Jewish and Roma bands, there are articles on this fusion of Roma and Jewish with various groups that are Roma by origin, but from having intermarried, are Jewish by religion. So this is another issue. This is a cultural issue that you can research on the internet. As far as the Gitanos of Spain being well treated, one of my best friends, Mario Torres of Los Canasteros, who is a flamenco singer, cantador in Vancouver, was an activist in Spain under Franco. He was trying to get rights for the Gitanos, better housing, better schooling. He was arrested by the Guardia Civil, who applied electricity to his genitals. He is now sterile. All right, Roma in Spain, who are musicians, flamenco musicians, as Roma in Romania, where almost all the musicians are Roma, at least all the folk musicians, in Hungary or other countries, Roma musicians do have a certain respect in the community. The rest don't. I have never been to Portugal, but I was involved in an art project back in the 90s in Montreal, late 80s and 90s. With a Canadian lady painter who was going back and forth working for Air Canada, painting the kind of pictures they hang in the airline lounges of Portugal. And she became involved personally with the Portuguese Ciganos, or Cigau, as they call themselves. Or their other name is Calau. And they have lived in Portugal, probably since the 15th century, in isolation from the Roma in the rest of Europe, more or less like the Gitanos in Spain. Their Romani language they once spoke has almost disappeared, except for a few words that they mix with Portuguese, just like the Spanish Gitanos mix a few words with Spanish. I do speak the Calais of the Spanish Roma, but I've been told that the Portuguese Calau is very similar. It's simply Portuguese with few Romani words in it. But the reason they don't call themselves Roma is because there are three definitions. The Roma of Eastern Europe have always called themselves Roma, Rom or Roma in the plural. Those who came to Europe earlier on in the 15th century, who settled in Spain, Britain, Germany, in Western Europe, in other words, use other words. The Roma of Austria and Germany, who came in the 15th century, call themselves Sinti. Yet they refer to their language as Romani Cib, the language of the Roma. But they use the word Rom, but its primary meaning of husband or married man. The same thing is true of the Gitanos of Spain. They call themselves Calais, which means the dark people in our language, dark-skinned people. They call themselves Calais, but they use the word Rom, meaning Gitano, and Romi, meaning Gitana, which, again, refers to Rom. So it's not that they don't call themselves Roma. All that Roma means is the husbands, and the Rom in the Romani language means a husband. So if you ask your Calau friends what Rom means, they'll tell you it means un marido, and that's what Rom means. So when we say amesam Rom, we are the husbands, the people, the adults, because a person only becomes an adult member of the community when they marry. So the two terms are synonymous, adult and married person.
Also, the real meaning of the Roma is coming from the name of the nation. and the, from the name of the language, because all that names and which and we are called by the others is not coming from our language, because Tsigan is coming from the other languages, and they call us like that. And for us, especially in Eastern European country, Tsigan, the meaning of this word is very pejorative and is a stereotype. Clear, very strong stereotype, and because there mean everything what is wrong, not good. What about the Roma from Portugal, who they call themselves Tsigan, is because my opinion, is because they long time ago, they lost the language, and they didn't know exactly what mean and how strong is, how pejorative is that word, because they were living in Portugal where the stereotypes and the discrimination against our people is not so strong, and they lose that meaning of the word. But in all the other countries, the Roma, we call ourselves Roma because we belong to our nation, which are Roma.
Okay, and the lady on the back, she had a question.
Have any of the institutions of the European Common Market been of any help to the Roma of Western Europe in struggles against discrimination and for cultural survival? And do you think they will be of any use to the Roma of Eastern Europe as those countries enter the EEC?
Yes, this is, I'd love to answer this question. The countries of the European Union are hypocrites. They have told the former communist countries, we know you are persecuting your Roma. If you want to become members of our exclusive supper club, you'd better clean up your act and do something about your industrial pollution and about your persecution of Roma. We cannot have countries in the European Union where citizens are running around burning down Romani villages and murdering people. We know your Roma are ill-treated. Fine. Roma refugees arrive in these freedom-loving, equality-giving European countries, claiming asylum. Germany sends them back to Romania. It gives Romania $30 a head to ship them back to Romania. And among these are Roma who were never in Romania in the first place. They've been rounded up by the German police who shipped them back with the Romanian Roma. France accepts about 1% of Romani refugees. Britain is rounding them up and deporting them back to Slovakia. Here's the answer of your hypocrites. We know you're persecuting the Roma. For God's sake, don't send them here. And this is the fear of these Western European countries. Once they open their borders, this is not coming from only from me, this is coming from lawyers. Once they open their borders and you have freedom of travel, millions of Roma will come from Romania, Bulgaria, all of these former communist countries into Western Europe looking for freedom from persecution, education for their children. They know this. And this is the fear that haunts them. They are hypocrites because they could be doing something right now to force these countries to give the Roma the rights that they deserve under the United Nations Charter. But they're not doing it. They're excluding them, telling them to clean up their act, but God help any of them who manage to get into Western Europe and apply for asylum. They won't get it.
Next question, please.
I have a question about the Romani language, which you've partly talked about. But first of all, I'd just like to make a comment about the use of the word Calais. That is a self-pejorative because Kala is black in Indian languages. So when you say Calais means dark people, Kala is black, and so they're referring to themselves in that way.
Not in our language. It's not seen particularly as a pejorative word. People have the nickname of Kalo, Kalio. It's not a pejorative in our language.
But anyway, I wanted to just ask the question about the Romani language in terms of to what degree are people able to understand each other in this vast reach between Norway through to southern Europe, given the evolution that must have taken place over time?
There are many families of dialects. The most widely spread and the most least corrupted form of Romani are the Vlach dialects and the Arlidish dialects. The Vlach dialects are spoken in Romania, all through Europe, in the Americas, from Canada all the way down to Patagonia, which is where the original Roma settled. They came here in the 1890s, early 1900s. So it's got the biggest number of speakers and the widest distribution. Anybody who speaks any Vlach dialect can communicate with another Rom who speaks another one, regardless of where they come from. The Arlidish dialects are South Balkan dialects that are again preserved the original grammar, the vocabulary, but whereas the Vlach dialects have taken in loan terms from Romanian, the Arlidish have taken them from Turkish, Bulgarian, other languages of the South Balkans. But the Arlidish is again a big family. It runs all the way through the South Balkans. The Romungare of the Slovak Roma and the Carpati is another group of dialects. But all of these dialects, if you start communicating with speakers of another dialect, for instance, we have people here tonight in our group who speak Arlidish dialects, people who speak Vlach dialects, and we can all communicate with one another, because if we work together and associate, we learn one another's words. But Sinti is a different group of dialects. They've been isolated for too long, and it's difficult to understand everything they say. But it's still a Romani language. It's still a Romani dialect, except they've got too much German in it, and they speak it backwards. Wenn der Elevator upkommt, so will ihn in get und down go, type of thing. But it's still a Romani dialect. But there are other countries like Spain, Portugal, England, where the Romani language has more or less, it's lost its grammar and its inflections. It's a very inflected language with postpositions, inflected nouns for number and gender. When this disappears, and what you have is some root elements, I can give you an example of English Romani. We're all Beshen here in this hall and Shun and Tavat the Manishes are Rakaran. It's half English and half Romani. So when you get to this point, that's only intelligible among the particular group that speaks it. But when you speak an inflected Romani dialect, Arlidish, Vlach, Romungare, you can communicate with Roma who speak other inflected dialects. So it's estimated by Hancock and other scholars about 75 to 80% of the world's Roma still speak a Romani dialect of one form or another. So it's still around.
What I would like to complete is that the Romani language suffered, of course, changes in the countries where the Roma were oppressed stronger. And they were obliged to adapt the national language. And they tried to make a kind of mixture of the languages. But in general, in Eastern European countries and Central European countries, the Roma who left, they lived together, strong communities, they were compact community. They keep their language. Of course, many communities, they have a dialect, they speak a dialect or something like that. While in Eastern Europe, we speak more than 17 Romani dialects, but in fact we understand one with other because we live same zone of Europe and because we use the language. It's a little harder for the people who live another continent like North America or America or Asia, who were obliged to take the words from their languages, which we cannot understand. So the Roma, in general, the communities, the compact communities, they speak more then 80% is still Romani language, and we understand everywhere one each other.
I have a question for Mr. Emilian Nicolae. You said that in Romania about 45 Roma villages were burnt down by the majority population. Can you tell us something about the circumstances under when this happened? What has triggered this?
When I said that were more than 40 cases, violent cases in Romania, I was telling the truth. I'm an activist.
You mean 40 violent cases or 40 villages burned down?
40 were violent cases.
Not villages burned down?
In these 40 cases, more than 40 cases, were violent cases in which Roma were beaten, expelled from the villages. They never get legal justice in the dead cases. And many of these people, their houses were burned. Of course, when we start to make research and to monitoring these cases, personally, the cases I monitor was all burned down, and I monitor more than 10 cases, in which, and I will give you the names, Bolintindal, because you know that you are Romanian, Ogrezen, Băcu, Găisen, Huedin, Târgu Mureș, Hăderen, the worst one, which the Roma were, three Roma were burned. They were, their hands, their legs were cut, and they were thrown in the fire, and the houses they were fire were burned. So I'm sorry because I've talked in this way, but all these cases are known by the international media, known by the International Human Rights Organization. It's not our research made. It's made by International Human Rights Organization, Amnesty International, Helsinki Watch, European Human Rights Center, and many others from Europe, even European Commission, and many other international bodies like OSCE, which means Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, Council of Europe, and as I told you, we have already two cases in European Human Rights Court, which are have direct relation with this kind of action, burning and killing by the Romanians, our people.
My question was,
yes.
What was it that triggered that killing?
Oh, thank you. So do you mean that, who provoked and why was provoked?
Yes.
After 1989, when the communists was fall down, the Romanian, as I said before, the racism of Romanian grew up. And every action which was made by our people, small one, was made bigger by the Romanians. I'm a Romanian. I love my country. I love that country because I was born there. I'm educated there, and I want to come back in my country. But, as I told you, I want to leave the world to know about all these things. Because, as you want to say now, that was nothing. It is. Even I will give you an example of my village. A Roma was going to drink to a party. One Roma with four Romanian boys and a girl. They eat, drink on the Easter night. When they come back in the village, they already were drunk. They fight, they beat the Roma, and the Roma kill one of them. It's true. But this is not allowed the village or the people in that village or in the country to kill me or to burn my house because I'm Roma. Because I will tell you one example. I'm educated in that country. I was educated with Romanians. I was in competition with Romanians. I was not with Gypsy, with my people. Because I was trying to be like Romanians. My example and my model for me was the Romanians. Because I want to be like them. Because I want to be an educated person and to don't feel anymore what the other feel. Because they treat us. And the school, they tell me all the time, dirty. I was not a dirty. I was a poor person, a poor child. But they treat me like that. After the Roma killed the Romanian, and I'm sorry for that young man because he was my friend, was my best friend. when the, his friends take him to hospital, I ask also to take me there because it was my friend. I say, no, you are gypsy. Starting from that moment, the Romanians start to organize because the mayor opened the system alarm. The priest start to
ring the bell.
Yes, the bell. And the police advised the people who were already organized to burn our houses. And they start, and they burned 26 houses in my village of Roma. Was only one guilty. He was arrested after 1 hour, and his father, the Roma father of the criminal, take him and say, please, if he's guilty, he's guilty, and he made it his destiny. Take it. His father, release him. Surrender him, sorry. And I was we were hoping that would not happen with others because we were like all the others. We were very well integrated. Our community, we were, in our, my village, all people were, we were constructors. Another case, Ogrezen, after my village was burned, after 1 month, this village is at maybe far like 10 kilometers. That village was necessary one provocation. A Roma stopped his car, he was going in the store to buy cigarette, and he asked the people, say, please, I'm with the car, I'm very in a hurry. Can I buy a pack of cigarette? And the Romanian say, you know what, gypsy, get out. He slapped him. And the Roma say, why you slap him? He slapped him too. And that was the beginning. They beat him there. And he, of course, he protected himself and cut his shoulder. The Roma was arrested immediately. But even he was not from that village. He was traveling with his car. All Roma from that village, their house were burned. 14 houses, Ogrezen. If you want to write down, just write the names. Ogrezen, Bolintin, Găisen, Băcu, Hădăren. And I can, if you let me, I can give you names of all the localities which was, but I can give you the address on the internet where you can find out all these events.
But I think the problem is a little bit more complex because you are not showing all the aspects of the problem. There is a tension in the Romanian society against the Roma community because the Roma community has its own way of life. And it doesn't accept to live like the rest of the people. And, the pejorative Tsigan has become a pejorative probably because of a certain reason.
Which one?
And which is that, they don't live like all the other people, right?
Sorry, I should stop you. I'm in Canada. Yes. In this country, the people, they live how they want. I want to live, it's my right to live how I want. In my country, we want to live like that because the society don't accept us. They put us in the margin of the society, sir. I'm sorry because I speak with this voice. They throw us out of society. Example in this way is me. I was one of the most educated in my village, as I told you, with the Romanian. I was in competition. And you know what they tell me when I come back after a few months to see my friends? I ask them, they grow up with me, they eat with me, they was in school with me, and I asked them why they burned my house. I asked them they know that I'm guilty, me and my family. And they say, no, but why you burn my house? Because you are a gypsy.
Well, I might be able to give you one final answer. He was right. How long have you lived in Canada? Have you seen the way minorities are in this country? You have the right to wear a turban, you have the right to go to... follow any religion you want. You have the right to your own culture, your own language. Nobody has this right in Romania. Unless you behave like a Romanian, you are an outcast. Not only Roma you persecute in Romania, you persecute Hungarians, Jews, anyone else who is not a Vlach. Now, don't point to the Roma and say the Roma don't want to be like you. Why should they be like you any more than the Jews or the Hungarians? They should have the right to be Jews, Hungarians, and Roma in a free country. But Roma are leaving Romania. Nobody's going to Romania. There are no Roma fleeing into Romania. They're all fleeing out of it. So that should give you your answer, sir.
Romanians are fleeing Romania as well.
Can you hear the next question, please? Thank you.
I think that was very interesting, what I heard from the Romanian friend here. What about the children who have been kept in isolation after the Ceausescu fell down, revolution?
80% of these orphans are Roma, by the way.
Ron Lee, I want to specifically refer this question to you. Is about sometime at the beginning of 1998 when the refugees were 1997, 1998 when they were heavily coming to Canada, and there was a large group of neo-Nazi demonstrating at Kingston Road at Lido Motel. The Roma were quite terrified at that time when they saw a military, a neo-Nazi group, skinheads with their swastika on their arms and their flags and their signs are saying to the motorists who are going by, if you hate gypsies, honk the horn. And it was quite actually sad. The Roma were really left on their own to fight. And I just wonder what has come out out of this case or situation, you might say. Would you please elaborate on this?
Oh, yes, Amdi, I would be very happy to. This is one of the grossest miscarriages of justice that has happened in Toronto for a long time. It's actually laughable. If it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable. These skinheads were photographed and identified by the police. They were all in their late teens, except for the leader, Walter Freubisch, who is a veteran neo-Nazi. So they were all arrested. Freubisch pleaded guilty. He got a 3-month suspended sentence and was ordered by the court to write a letter of apology to the Roma community. So he's off the hook now. The other skinheads, 6 of them eventually ended up in court. They pleaded innocent. The case dragged on almost 3 years. I attended many of the hearings. The Jewish community was also helping us to nail these people because they had desecrated Jewish cemeteries. They had been involved in anti-Semitic acts as well. Bernie Farber and other Jewish activists. But even with all of this pressure, the Crown Prosecutor, after almost 3 years of court hearings, God knows how much this cost the Canadian taxpayer, she rendered her final summation. Then the defense stepped in. The two defense lawyers came in with a pile of dictionaries. Their argument was the signs that these skinheads were carrying said, "Honk if you hate gypsies." The prosecution has charged them with dissemination of hatred against Roma, which is a hate crime. Can you prove that gypsy and Roma are synonyms? The defense went through this pile of dictionaries, said, look, gypsy means could be a gypsy cab driver, gypsy oil rigger, a person who looks or acts like a gypsy. There's nothing here to say that gypsy and Roma is the same thing. So the defense pointed out, the prosecution, Romani gives a synonym of gypsy. But that still wasn't Roma. He said, no, the judge was adamant. Judge Russell Otter was adamant. There is no word-for-word translation of gypsy as Roma. Therefore, there is no evidence that the signs referred to gypsies. But I'll take it under consideration, and I'll render my judgment, I forget what it was, 90 days later or something. Anyway, the final judgment was they were innocent, because they were said, honk if you hate gypsies, and there was no way to prove, in his eyes, as a judge on the Criminal Court of Canada, that gypsy and Roma were synonyms. What a gross farce, you know, linguistic juggling. It's like saying, had they been carrying a sign outside of a gay bar, saying, honk if you hate fags, and the judge would have ruled, well, they were only demonstrating against smoking. You know? So, justice for Roma. I might point out that the Crown Prosecutor, the testifying police officers, were members of visible ethnic groups, but the judge and the two defense lawyers and the skinheads were members of what might be called, in quotes, a Caucasian group. So you can draw your own conclusions.
Now Ms. Lynn Hutchison, she has announced something.
I'm just going to make a couple of very brief announcements of coming events. Home Is My Road is a play by Toronto playwright Florence Gibson. It's on at Factory Theatre right now. There are flyers over on the table. Another play coming up is The Fallen Gypsy, written and performed by Natalie Breton. It will be at the Theatre Centre, 1087 Queen West, Friday, May the 30th. It opens, and I believe there are flyers over at this table.
We thank you very much.